You're listening to the Manning Up on Real Estate podcast with your host, Cameron Manning. We bring you the industry experts each episode who will help you man up on your real estate career. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Manning Up on Real Estate podcast. I am your host, Cameron Manning here, and we are bringing you another exciting guest. I'm excited for this one because we are going West Coast versus East Coast here. We're going literally across the country here, talking to a good friend of mine who has been in the business since about 2009. And he comes with him, I want to say in today's day and age, a unique perspective to real estate, but at the same time, it's a really old-fashioned method that this guy's been building his business, and I'm excited to really dive into what he's been doing. And over the last 10 years, he's had more than 10,000 conversations with people at their door. So we're going to dive into that all the way from Halifax, Nova Scotia. Ken Purdy, welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Hey, Cameron. Thanks for so much for having me here. I'm really excited to chat it up with you. This is really great. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm excited that you're here as well. And I mean, I know we've been chatting over the last year or so and gotten to know each other through the app Clubhouse. And I know listeners are probably hearing me talk about that app a lot, but that's
honestly, a great app.
It's a great app. We've met a lot of great people and we've made these connections with people across Canada, across the US. And I'm excited to bring these people to you guys who bring these different styles, whether it's lead generating to marketing to entrepreneurship. It's been exciting. So Ken, I wanted to kind of dive into a little bit about your past before we kind of go too much into what you're doing these days. And I was like, what drew you to real estate? I know you got started in 2009. What was the thing that said, I want to do this?
Yeah, great question. So before real estate, I actually sold new construction. I worked for a builder in town. So sold new construction, and the recession hit here. And so I was pretty much in a position where I had to do something because of we had some insane financial obligations. So going from new construction to residential resale real estate seemed to have been the the most natural progression, because outside of that, I was pretty much unemployable, being in sales from that perspective. So dive right into it. And through the course of, finding out that new construction and residential resale could not be further apart from each other. So that was a huge awakening that I realized that it wasn't going to be such a smooth transition. And thankfully, that's where door knocking came across as far as to solve that small problem.
Right. So you were working in the new construction home sales and yeah, totally. It is definitely a different beast, because when you're in that aspect, the sellers are business people. Right to them, it's numbers, and sometimes they'll make a great profit, sometimes they'll make a loss, as long as they keep the wheel turning. Whereas when you move into the residential, when you're dealing with someone's home, it's super emotional, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And in new construction as well, it's almost retail, because people are just coming to you.
Yeah,
like people are just coming to you. Like you don't have to literally almost do nothing as far as quote unquote prospecting.
Yeah.
So realizing that, just in my market, there's like 1200 real estate agents just in my city. So I had a huge panic attack, because I came to this business with massive, massive, massive insecurities.
Right.
So having to get past all that was at the beginning a huge challenge in order to get over that mentally.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely different. I mean, for sure. Ben, the one thing I know about you is that you got a mentor and he got you onto. And as I said, it's going to sound unique nowadays, because everyone's so focused on, Facebook ads and building an Instagram, becoming TikTok famous, but you went for the good old fashioned door knocking. Tell me about that. Why did that attract you? What your mentor told you that made it click for you that this is the way to do it?
Yeah. So as quick as I possibly can, I had, waiting to get my results. A friend of mine from the next province over came over, who was also a real estate agent. We were driving around and he just asked, have you considered what you're going to do to build your business, like as far as prospecting? And I was like, I have no idea. And he said, have you considered door knocking? And I immediately repelled the idea, because like everybody else,
like most people do. Yeah.
When I think of door knocking, I think of that snake oil salesman type of an approach. And then he mentioned this old guy, this ex-military, bald old guy, named Bill Nasby. He teaches this door knocking in a way that's really different. And, you know, he doesn't try to sell. He just, you know, tries to help people find that are moving anyway. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm kind of getting it. But this is what totally, it was like a light switch. We drove by the street. There's about 50 houses in the street. And he asked me, what do you think the chances are of someone selling in that street in the next year? And I said, I don't know, probably about 100%. And he says, all he does, all this Bill Nasby guy does is he teaches you how to find them.
Right.
And that immediately I was sold. I'm like, I got it. You know, he has a script that he uses and it's a very non-threatening yet very professional, especially when it's presented in the right way. So I was like, oh, I don't have to sell per se. I mean, I'm proud to be a salesperson. Like I will shout it from the rooftop, but I don't like selling.
Yeah.
So the way I was taught door knocking was basically only looking for the people that are going to be moving with or without me. And I just happen to come across their door and try to catch them before they make that decision to provide that value over the next few months. So that's the long and short of it, how I get introduced to door knocking.
That's awesome. And I mean, it is, that's the case with a lot of different lead gen sources. Once you finally find that thing that works or finally something clicks, then you can double down on it, right? And we know you have doubled down on it. 10,000 plus conversations over the last 10 years. I mean, I'm curious, how many pairs of shoes have you gone through over the last 10 years?
That's hilarious. Yeah, like lots of shoes. And not only number of shoes, different comfort levels, because, you know, it's a lot of walking. So you want to make sure that, you know, you're comfy. I haven't gone the chic suit and sneaker route yet. I'm resisting that. So, if I can have a good pair of comfortable shoes, then I am good to go.
All right. So I'm going to throw it out there then. What have you found is the most comfortable dress shoe then to go out door knocking with? What is your favorite?
By Moores. I go to Moores and they've got, they got these beautiful slip-ons. They got to be slip-ons. I don't know 100%. If they're Bostonians or the Florsheim, but they're great shoes. I get about 6 months out of them. And they're great. They're great. I mean, after that, I mean, like, you're catching treads and stuff like that. I mean, they look pretty ratty by the end of it. But if I get about 6 months out of them, then I'm doing good.
That's fantastic. You know that the guy's a true door knocker when he can life cycle out his shoes based on what he's doing. That's fantastic. All right. I want to kind of circle back to that in a bit and we'll talk a little bit more about the door knocking, but obviously right now we've been in a global pandemic as we're recording this and, you know, we're starting to see different peaks of lights at the end of the tunnel. But I read an article recently that talked about how the two, you know, markets that gained the most in terms of, you know, population growth was Halifax and Vancouver, because we're both coastal cities, right? We've got beautiful scenery, we're on the water, and with the people's ability to work from home, they're like, why would I stay in, for my case, I'm getting a lot of Albertans, right? Why would I stay in minus 40 Alberta when I can come out to the coast? Talk to me a little bit about that. How has that been affecting you, your business? Have you seen the growth there? What's it been like that on that aspect? And would you say that article is accurate?
Incredibly accurate. I mean, we are seeing things here that we haven't seen in the history of the city. And it's anybody's guess as far as, you know, try to figure it out. Two quick stories. As far as the who is coming and the why, I was door knocking there a couple months ago, knocked on this door, and the area that I door knocked, to give you an idea of price point, you know, around the 400 range, you know, for single family home, like an 8,000 square foot lot. So just a traditional suburb type of a home. Knocked on this door, guy had just moved in like 6 months earlier. I said, oh, well, where did you move from? Oh, I moved from BC. I said, well, what brought you out this way? And his answer, he didn't have to say anything more than this. He says, I sold my house for $1.2 million. So you hit the nail on the head. Because we're able to work from home, I can sell my house for $1.2 million, which might have been comparable to out west. I'm not sure. It might have been less. I don't know. To come out here and not only buy a house in Halifax, though, to be able to, you know, I'll spend an extra $100,000 because I'm still banking $600,000 tax-free. Yep. So the rest of us, you know, Canadians, you know, we're like Atlantic Canadians, like, what the heck is going on here? So we used to be the best kept secret. And I used to almost pride myself on us being the best kept secret, because it used to be the adage, you know, from coast to coast, from Vancouver to Montreal, like literally, like the world stopped as far as Canadians were concerned in Montreal. So yeah. We're no longer the best kept secret from that perspective.
You're on the map now.
We're on the map, and you know, there's lots of cranes, there's lots of development. Our city is healthy. There's growth, but it's not crazy growth.
Yeah.
The prices are, you know, crazy for us, but if you look at them from coast to coast, we're still one of the lowest priced markets as far as a major city. Like I say, like the average price of a house is like $350. So, and in relation to door knocking specifically, COVID has been a massive blessing, because when I started back at door knocking, once, you know, we got out of one of the phases, I noticed that people were a lot more quicker to engage me at the doors, because we are in such desperate, you know,
looking for connection,
for human connection.
Yeah.
So I'll connect, you know, I'll talk with the sales guy at the door. Like, I'm so desperate for that human connection. So being able to capitalize on that, to have those great conversations at the doors is, you know, great time to venture out into door knocking, you know,
totally,
for someone who's starting out brand new.
Well, Harry, I mean, you guys heard it here first, right? So if you've been considering it, there's never been a better time where people are like, hey, I don't mind the guy coming to the door. I've been stuck at home, or I've been working in my office or whatever. Like,
exactly.
That's awesome. I want to kind of like, so we obviously kind of circled away from the door knocking, but we're going to go back, because obviously that is what you are known for. I'm curious, you know, you've built up this reputation on the door knocking now, and you've clearly got it down to a science. So I'm curious, what does, and I've heard it too. So for those who don't know, for a while there, you were actually taking us live through door knocking, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I was wondering if you'd be okay with doing a quick live role play with me now, just because I'm curious to see what your system's like. How are you able to get that many conversations and not have people slamming the door in your face? Yeah. Because that's what everyone's fear is, right?
Absolutely. And it's legit fear. I mean, you know, you hear the adage, false evidence appearing real, but fear is fear, and it's real to, you know, who we are. So I think it's important to be respectful, professional, stay on point, and you want to put yourself in a position that from the moment you say hello to the moment that you're leaving, that you leave that person at the door better off than when you first talking to them. Yeah. And the biggest key is, whenever I door knock, and a lot of people kind of tilt their head, I never, ever, ever door knock looking for leads.
Right.
I never look for leads. My only goal when I'm door knocking is to have that effective conversation. When I have that at the forefront, then there's no rejection, because if I'm not looking for a yes or a no, they can say either one, I can't be rejected. And even if they say yes, I merely take that as a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
So it really, really helps from that perspective. And being quick. Like, I'm in and off the doorstep in most cases within 60 seconds.
Yeah.
So that alleviates the number of objections you're going to get thrown at. I mean, so you're able to stay more control of the conversation. Questions are very open-ended, so they're not yes or no questions, so that, you know, you're forcing them to answer so that you can ask the next question to stay in control. And regardless of what they throw at you, the way the questions are formulated, you can always bring people back to the question. And it just makes it such a beautiful dance, if you will. Like, it's so choreographed and nice, yet with lots of practice can be very authentic.
Totally. Yeah. And I've heard you do it on the doorsteps too many times.
Absolutely.
Like I said, you know, I was always in awe, because even me, I haven't been a big door knocker. I've done it a few times. Right. And listening to you on Clubhouse when you're doing your live stuff, I mean, you know, hey, Ken from Exit Realty, when you're thinking about moving, that line was like, whoa, like straight out the gate. And then how you carry the conversation has just been so fluid. So yeah, maybe let's do that. Let's role play. Let's see how you do it. And I would love to kind of, you know, learn. I mean, this will be great, because then I can like rewatch this 5 times. Anyone else can listen to it, and we can go door knock.
Okay. Knock, knock, knock.
Hi.
Hey there. Ken with Exit Real Estate. When do you plan on moving?
not for a while.
Yeah, no, I don't believe you. You got a beautiful home here, man. That's really awesome. How long you've lived here?
We've been here for about 4 years now.
Nice. From the area, where did you move from?
Actually, we moved out from Alberta.
Oh, great. Awesome. So if you could move, if you could move anywhere else, where do you think you'd move to?
Oh, you know, good question. You know, there's that neighborhood about like three blocks down. There's some really nice houses there. You know, if something comes available, I mean, we are always looking at that area.
Okay. So what kind of timeline we're looking at? Like, when would that be?
You know what? Honestly, if something comes up good, I mean, I would say maybe in a year or so.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm just out qualifying the neighborhood to see who's, you know, moving within the next 12 months. Could you see something happen within that time?
I mean, yeah, if the right property comes up, we could definitely make something happen.
Okay, awesome. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to work for you, start doing some work to make you the most informed seller, at least in this neighborhood. I'm sure that would make it easier for you to move with it.
Awesome. Okay, sounds good.
Great. Grab your first name and if it's appropriate, your number, and then I'll say, I'll be back, and I'm off the doorstep.
I mean, and that was what we, I want to say not even like 40 seconds.
Yeah. When you get a lead, ask those couple extra questions. It might take it 90 seconds, but again, like, because I'm there to focus on the conversation, when I do get the lead, grab the name and go, because again, you're moving in a year. You're not thinking about picking up the phone and calling an agent at that point.
Yeah.
So that gives me a full year to build a relationship with you so that by the time you're looking to pull the trigger, hopefully I've done enough work so that you don't think about, you know, calling another agent. You know, it's not a perfect science. I mean, you know, there's been times I've done the follow-ups, drive by one day, there's another sign there. It happens. It happens a lot. I mean, that's just the way you do it. But when you're, you know, when you're spinning enough plates, then everything tends to work out on its own. And I've been on both ends, you know, spinning a lot of plates and it's working well. And I've done it when I'm not as proficient as I should be. And I don't have many plates spinning in the air and it hurts. I mean, it hurts. Yeah. But it's great when you get a win.
For sure. For sure. Now, what happens if they say, you know what, we actually were talking about it literally last week. We're thinking about moving. Do you want to come in and see the house right now? What do you do in that scenario? Because I've had that before.
Yeah, for sure. So I have my business cards in hand. I'll say, well, I'll tell you what, I gotta finish my doors. I always love bringing it back to the work.
Yeah.
To remind them that I am a door knocker.
Yes.
I'll say, I got to finish my doors right now. I can come back after I'm done, or we can book a time in the next day or so.
Right.
And I'll handle it that way. But you want to get to a place where the prospecting becomes more important than everything else.
Yeah.
Everything else. Because without the prospecting, you don't have anything else. And when you show that sense of boundaries, if you will, that'll either be respected or it won't be respected. They might say, oh, if you're not going to come in now, we're going to use somebody else. Well, okay, then use somebody else. Like, like, you know, if you're going to...
Well, it shows the type of person they are. Maybe you don't want to have that type of client too.
Exactly. Right? And then some people do. Some people will go in the house right then and there. I think every situation... And if I was to say I never gone in a house, I'd be lying.
Yeah.
Though it's case by case. But for the most part, if you can set that authority and that boundaries in a professional and respectful way, I tend to find that people will respect you more for it than opposed to letting them, you know, dictate as far as how things are going to go.
Well, for sure. And I think it's going to show them that you are a professional. So when you are there for the meeting, that is the work. You're there for that meeting. You're going to be there to give them a consultation. So off the cuff, you're not prepared and you want to be prepared. Right. And you're showing them too, right? Because I mean, I'm assuming if you set that time to come back either later that day or in a day or two, that gives you a chance also to go and take a look at the comps in the area and see what's going on, just so you have some conversation pieces for them, right?
Absolutely. And an item of value that I can bring them, like a pre-listing package, if you will. Absolutely. Right. Yeah, for sure.
And so that kind of goes me to my next question is obviously the follow-up then. So, you know, let's say we had the scenario we did. I'm ready to sell in a year. What does that yearly follow-up look like? So hopefully when I'm ready to go, you are that realtor of choice.
Yeah. So this is where it's like the people that are fearful of door knocking, this is where it gets really bad for them really fast because okay, if I can door knock, I'm good to go. And the unfortunate or fortunate thing is the initial door knock is such a small percentage of the actual successful course of getting that listing that, you know, it's all, as you know, it's all in the follow-up.
Yes.
And the cool thing is, or the interesting thing is, nobody does it. And I've been a perpetrator of that too. Like, you know, I've had good follow-up seasons and not so good follow-up seasons. And though when I'm good and I'm on point on it and I'm sharp with it, what happens is as soon as I get home, I'll write them a handwritten note with my atrocious handwriting. And it says, you know, hey, John, good morning, John. It was a pleasure talking with you at the doors last evening. Looking forward to helping you with your move. Sincerely, Ken. Business card goes in the card, handwritten letter or handwritten envelope. No return address, goes in the mail. And then ideally within 10 days to 2 weeks, I'm back on their doorstep with, I guess, an equivalent of a pre-listing package. You know, knock, knock, knock. Hey, John, we met a couple weeks ago. Oh, yeah, yeah, how's it going? Great, great, great. Well, I said, yeah, I'm going to make you the most informed seller. This is how I'm going to do it. Hand them the folder, give them a quick pricey as far as what's in it. Because again, I want to respect their time, even with the follow-up. Because when I'm showing up, these are unannounced. These are unannounced Popeyes, so I want to be in and out real quick. And here you go. Now, they're going to want to hold on to this, because when it comes time for me to market your home, we're going everything in one place.
Right.
And the moment they give me that notion that they're moving, I go into the notion that I have the job.
Yeah.
So with the assumption of closing, when I go to sell your house, looking forward to helping with your move. And basically from there, you know, I send the mailer. I'll pop by every, you know, month or two, depending on how far out they are. But I always want to be in front of them in some fashion. And it's not hard. Like our MLS system on the East Coast, or our real estate board, NSAR, they do a really good job at compiling stats and stuff like that.
Yep.
So I just print them off and just drop them off. I mean, it's more the face-to-face interaction than as far as the content that I'm giving, 100%. Even though the content that I'm giving is of value, and people really appreciate that.
Now, what I really like that you just said there, and I was literally just having a conversation with my team about this, is the assumptive close, right? You're walking in, and every interaction, you're talking as if you are their realtor. Right. And, yep. And I think that a lot of people miss that, because they feel like, you know, oh, if you decide to choose me, or when you're ready to go, I hope that I'll get the thing. And by that, you're showing to the client, in my opinion, that you're unsure of yourself as an agent. Right.
Yeah.
And I literally was just in a listing appointment recently, and I was talking to my team. I said, this is what I did. I literally walked in and said, okay, Gary, here's the plan. When we list your property on Monday, and like, I was just talking as if it was happening. And at the end of the day, they said, okay, yeah, let's, when do we do the paperwork? Right. I said, right now, right. We got it.
Yeah.
So the assumptive close is a very powerful tool that you need to do. And again, going back to what you also said on the follow-up, I know you are a big fan of the Sirhan program, follow-up, follow-back, follow-through, right? So I really believe that in any lead gen, whether it's door knocking or anything, the money is 100% in the follow-up. And if you are doing the lead gen activities, but you're dropping that, there's almost no point in doing that lead gen activity. You're just doing work for the sake of doing work, right?
Yeah, you're just spinning wheels. Yeah, I mean, like, it's, I love door knocking. Like, that is my thing. I'm not a huge fan of follow-up. Like, you know, that it's funny. People don't like door knocking, but they wouldn't mind the follow-up. I don't mind that initial door knock. It's the follow-up that I struggle through. And I've noticed that when you do it right, it's amazing. And when you don't do it right, it's, you know, it can be a colossal failure. And I think that's where, as I touched on earlier, like in relation to, you know, insecurities, like, you know, this is something that, door knocking and follow-up has a wonderful gift, as it brings out an agent, because you don't have the filter of a mailer. You don't have the filter of a phone. Like, it's just you. Like, if you fail, you're failing in front of a live audience. So
yeah.
It does bring out your insecurity. So it's very important to be able to not fake it till you make it, but get to the bottom of why those insecurities are there. And that will definitely help you through the process to grow through it.
100%. I mean, something you can do too, and I always encourage our team, is role play together, right? So that way, that way you get into a bit of a rhythm, and, or at least we did a little role play here, right? So you can kind of start formulating that script you're going to use. And then when you go out in the field, you try it. But at the same time, that script might have someone slam that door in your face. You don't know, but who cares, right? You know, again, it's a numbers game when you're doing any sort of lead gen activity. And this one, again, it is going to be a little more broad if that person is, but they could be having a bad day. It's not necessarily them.
100%.
We were doing some expired door knocking last year, going around seeing what's expired. And we're like, instead of calling the people, let's go to their house. And we, same thing, we would drop off a pre-listing package or something. And the one guy said, you know, hey, I'm really busy, I can't talk, and literally just slammed the door. 2 days later, we got a call back, said, I really apologize, guys. I was just super busy that day. Do you want to come over and take a look at the house? We are thinking about listing it.
Yeah.
You never know what's going on in that person's day.
Absolutely. And if you focus on the effective conversations more than actually getting a lead or not a lead, then that conversation you had would have been a successful conversation because you're not going for that yes or no in the first place.
Yeah.
You're just going there to bring value. You brought value. So therefore, the job was accomplished.
Yeah.
And if you deliver it in the right way, then when people are less than cordial with you, sometimes it does get to them, because I guess I would say in some homeowners' defense, most people that door knock on their house aren't very good at it.
Yeah.
So to be that one that is professional and does take it to that next level and has a lot of fun with it. Like when I'm talking to people at the door, so anybody that's heard me, there's usually a lot of laughter interaction between me and the homeowner.
Oh, I've heard it. Yeah.
It's not just question, answer, question, like it's dialogue. Like I'm leaning against the porch. Like I'm having a quick conversation with them. And there's some cases I'm leaving before they want me to go.
Yeah. So I can attest to that. Cause again, there's been a few times you're like, okay, I'd love to carry the conversation, but hey, I'll be back. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's, and it's funny how you say it. It's an old fashioned technique, but I think the way you can present it can bring such a newness to it. And it's not anything that I came up with. I guess just the way I'm branding myself, that's bringing door knocking, a fresh new book cover to a book that's been around forever. So hopefully people will catch on to it here and there.
And you know, that brings me around. The next point I wanted to talk about was the branding of the door.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I quickly pulled up his Instagram and you'll see it on here. He's got a countdown of how many doors. So before I dive too much into that, I was wondering, what was your target this year and what are you at right now for hitting your target?
Yeah. So, because of Clubhouse, I inadvertently said that I was going to talk to 2,000 people at the door this year. And now I usually, in the last recent years, I would only talk to like 500 a year.
Right.
Like, so we're talking 2,000 people. So I'm at 650 now. I got to talk to 650 by the end of December. Left.
We're almost mid-November.
Left. And I got 6 weeks to do it. So it. I will do it. I will do it easily. I'll be busy, but it's, you know, because I can talk to 20 people at a time, so, or 20 people in an hour.
Yeah.
So it won't take, I'm just going to have to do a little bit of, and I tend to work better under pressure anyway. So I'm not panicking at all, but being able to put it out there so that the whole, you know, I'm accountable to the Instagram world, if you will.
100%.
It's been a huge blessing. And through Clubhouse, I'm going to be going back on Clubhouse here soon. Once I get on top of them and in control of where the numbers are, I'm going to start bringing people back into Clubhouse. So, because I want to finish strong and I want to bring Clubhouse into it, because Clubhouse was a huge part of you know, helping me get through this. So that's where I'm at from that perspective. It's 650 left.
That's fantastic. And what I really love too is that you're bringing it to Instagram, you're bringing it to your community. And I think I watched a video here recently that you posted on your Instagram saying, you know, it's crazy when you go to the supermarket and someone's checking in on your numbers because they see your Instagram. Like,
yeah, that's happened a couple times. Somebody says, you know, how far are you at? I'm like, what? Like, how many doors are you at? And it takes me a couple seconds because I'm not expecting that kind of conversation out of the blue, and it's like, oh my gosh, like you're watching, like, so so it's going to be cool to hit the goal, because I have to hit it. I mean, like, I have no choice but to hit it some way somehow. So I'm hoping that when I do it, that in 2022 other people are going to rise up and say, okay, if Ken can do it, then I can do it,
right?
You know, whatever that number is. So,
And I mean, at the end of the day too, I mean, if you average, you know, let's say 500, you said in the past, and you've decided to challenge yourself and you're literally doing that four times now, that was your target. It's yeah. obviously going to create a significant amount of business this year for you as well. Right. Because yeah. again, it's a numbers game. Right.
Yeah.
And have you noticed that the business is definitely like, you know, jumped up since you've quadrupled the door knocking?
Yeah. I'm going to see it next year.
Yeah.
Because most of the doors are delayed, and just, you know, with some growth that I've had this year, like stuff with Sirhan and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm a solo agent currently. So I am going to have to seriously think about getting help in some fashion in anticipation of what next year is going to bring. Cause I am finding it challenging as a solo agent to properly address, you know, cause I still have 650 people. I still have more people to talk to this year than I talked to the entire year in previous years. So that's, you know, so it's going to be, it's an awesome issue to have. Like I welcome it with open arms. Though it's going to be in, you know, I'm going to have to put some logistical things in place so I'm able to carry through smoothly next year.
And 100%. And I want to kind of talk about that branding aspect as well, because you are really focusing on that. You're teaching people how to do this, whether it's just through a conversation on Clubhouse or you're participating on something like this. And I do know that you went and did the Sirhan Pro membership, right? So talk to me about that, because I know I get a lot of questions. I haven't done the pro membership yet. That's, you know, that's definitely on my work. So that's the next thing I'm working on, but I've done the courses. I've done every course that he puts out, and I always get asked, how was it? Like, did it impact you? So that's a question I always get. So I want to throw that back to you then.
So quickly in relation to the Sirhan Pro membership, the reason why I joined pro was different than most reasons people join Sirhan Pro. I joined for the sole reason to get a one-on-one meeting with Ryan, because I was trying to get a job with him. And the pro membership affords that one-on-one undivided attention for 60 minutes. So I wasn't even considering anything else. I just wanted to get in front of him so he'd hire me. But what came with it was this branding session. And I wasn't a huge branding guy. I mean, I had a moniker, Ken Purdy, Your Home, Your Community. I mean, it was unique, but... you know, but it focused on buyers more, and it just, I couldn't own it, but I had it for 10 years of my business, 12 years of my business. So I sit down with virtually with, you know, Sydney, Raphael, and Kyle, who are all huge, huge, huge as far as the branding of Sirhan. And they basically told me that I was actually losing business, because people that were, I'd be talking at the door, if they went to look at me online, my Instagram, Facebook, like my online presence was a dog's breakfast.
Yeah.
And so they convinced me in short order that I needed to have an online presence, whether I wanted one or not. And of course, it was very quick when they realized door knocking had to play into it. So not only was my online presence a dog breakfast, there was no evidence of me being a door knocker. So sometimes I do have streaks of creativity. They gave me a homework, and I went after it. I said, okay, I need a moniker. And I have this this canvas thing that the office gave me, and it's a quote that says, you know, if opportunity doesn't come knocking on your door, go knock on opportunity's door. I said, oh, that's a cute quote. And it just came to me, opportunity knocks. And I'm like, oh, opportunity knocks. That's kind of neat. I start doing some searching around, and nobody uses it. I'm thinking, oh, that's kind of neat. And then I started searching some websites and stuff like that. And I finally, like, available websites as far as door knock. I was like, oh, I should be the door knock king or door knock, you know. And I just have to fall upon thedoorknocker.ca. I'm like, okay, let's grab that. So it was just happened. It was almost like it kind of came to me, if you will. And the funny thing is, like, I'd be pretty arrogant to think that I was the only door knocker out there. I mean, there's lots of door knockers out there. There's 100%. Lots of door knockers that are much more successful than I am, much more successful. But no one's really building their business around door knocking. So I'm like, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going all in.
Yeah.
So I was very strategic. I think, so what can separate me more from social media? So I've made the decision Like, first of all, like Instagram would be my main place where I go.
Yeah.
But one thing you will see missing from other real estate agent sites is I don't put any listings up there.
Yep.
At all. I don't put office stats. I don't do any, like, I'm kind of brand agnostic on there.
Yeah.
I'm going all door knocking.
Yeah.
I mean, houses here sell in a week anyway. So, you know, I'm kind of saying, okay, well, let other people talk about their listings. I'm going to talk about door knocking and see if anybody wants to hear about this.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. And the second thing is I'm not a fan of personal stuff just for me online. So I'm very careful that I'm, again, only talking about door knocking. So almost an enigma as far as, like, you know, does this guy do anything else besides that? But, you know, I'm totally fine with that. And there seems to be, now, can I say there's been a return on investment? I can't pinpoint that. But at the same time, when I knock on doors, if somebody decides to go to my Instagram page and stuff like that, I'm going to be a true reflection now of what I'm doing at the doors.
Yeah.
All my marketing and all my branding say opportunity knocks the door knocker, opportunity knocks the door knocker. You know, like, I'm even starting to do, like, you know, swag, if you will.
Well, I can even see in the back, I can see the opportunity. I'm assuming on the other side of that painting, it says knocks.
Yeah. Opportunity knocks, and then New York in the background.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I mean, going through pro, even though my goal was to get a job with Sirhan, what everything else that it brought far outweighed its value.
Yeah.
Before I even sat down with them, which was kind of like a massive bonus. So, but I felt like I could sit down with them in July. So it all worked out. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah. So that's the synopsis of the branding.
That's fantastic. And again, I see it all the time on Ken's stuff. Hashtag, he's cornering the hashtag now. He owns it. Opportunity knocks. And I think, you know, that's how I got to meet Ken, is after all that. And he was Ken Purdy, the door knocking guy, opportunity knocks. And I've always loved it. I'm like, man, this is brilliant. You know, like, you've really owned that aspect.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's the whole point of branding. You need to own it. Sirhan has ready, set, go. You have opportunity knocks, you know?
Yeah. And that's a great point that you make there, as far as, you know, all these years of it, you know, I enjoyed real estate, though it felt more like a job than anything else. Now that I've rebranded myself, it has literally become an extension of who I am naturally.
Yeah.
So when I hear, you know, I hear people ask questions, you know, I don't know what to post on Instagram. Like, how many times I should post? I'm thinking, man, if you're busy, then journal. So, like, me door knocking, man, I could post something every day if I wanted to, because I'm door knocking most days.
I see some of the quick videos you do, right? I mean, it's.
And it's just that quick touch, just to let people know that you're still out there, and you got people rooting for you. And in turn, you know, you get messages. So I'm able to encourage other people, and it's an incredible symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, love it. And one more point I wanted to make too, and I know you had a conversation one time about this, I think on Clubhouse, and I noticed it even just in how you're dressed today. You always are dressed professionally, right? You're in a suit, you're in a tie, even when you go door knock, because I've seen agents that are like, go comfortable, you're going to be out there for a while, get your active wear. And I'm like, you're providing a service. So I see you as somebody who said, like, looks and like professional. When you hit the door, you've got a mission, and you're there to show that you are professional. Talk to me about why that is.
Yeah,
probably.
I'm glad you brought that up, because this is actually the first year, 2021, that I've actually wore a full suit.
There we go.
Before that, I went the business casual route, but it was the reason why I went the business casual suit. I would see other people wear, you know, the jeans, the sport coat, stuff like that. Which, hey, if you can own it, you can own it. But going back to insecurities, I had to come up with something that had to elevate my game. So I had to stop comparing myself to other people. And I remember reading Ryan Sirhan's book, Big Money Energy. He talks heavily about the way you dress.
Yes.
And it was very early in the year. And I remember reaching out to my wife and saying, you know what, I think I'm going to go all suits this year. And it was uncomfortable for me to even say that, because I don't know if I've even owned a suit. I had one suit my whole life that I bought that I was proud of. And she's like, okay, well, if you're going to do it, do it. So I went and I bought four suits. And the first month, it was funny. I started door knocking with the suit, but I would take the tie off first. So I couldn't do it. Like, it's funny to think of it now. So I take the tie off. And then when I was done door knocking, I put the tie back on and keep going off my day. And I was always very conscious of my suit. Like, it fit, but like, I'm not used to it.
Yeah.
I'm not used to it. And then I remember one day I was door knocking and I got back in the car and I realized, oh shoot, I forgot my tie. I forgot to take my tie off. And I'm like, wait a second. It was fine. Like, nobody said anything. And then it took about a month though for me to realize. I went through a full day and it was the end of the day, driving home at night. And I realized, oh my gosh, I'm wearing a suit. So it got to the point where, like, I wear a suit every day now and it's like with jeans and a t-shirt to me. So, but what I've noticed was people notice at the doors. Like, I will get comments, like I've never gotten comments before, that, oh wow, you're wearing a suit. Oh, I like your socks. Oh, I like your suit. You know, people will stop me as I'm walking down the street because I'm the only guy in a suit.
Yep.
Who's walking down the street. Like, I'll have people, oh, you knocked on my door. Like, so it's a very subtle extension, but man, oh man, it's had an incredible impact and people really, really appreciate it.
And again, I remember Sirhan in a video of his at one point says, basically, like, donning that suit for your workday is like putting on your armor. You're going into battle.
Yeah.
You're doing this for your clients. And to your point too, you do stand out because of every other agent who does door knock. And again, you're not the only one. We know that.
That's right.
There's lots that do, but a lot of them do go in that, you know, jeans and a t-shirt and a blazer, like the casual, because they're going to be outside and whatever. So you are standing out amongst the crowd and you're really owning that brand of the guy who goes out and door knocks. You are the most professional door knocker that people see, right?
Yeah.
And I think it has a huge impact. And I think when you talked about it that one time on Clubhouse, I was like, man, that's brilliant, you know? Like, I try to get all my guys now. I'm like, listen, like, I don't have a tie on, but I'm still in a full suit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I got a bunch of stuff. But you know, it's same thing. I always say we got to come dressed up because you never know. And for us, I always say you never know when a client's going to walk in the door, right? If I come into the office and I'm wearing shorts and I've got like runners on, I came from the gym, and they come in and they want to say, I want to buy, sell, or invest, I'm not in a position to give them that service if I'm not looking like it, right? And mentally too, you're like,
right,
you're thinking I'm having a casual day, right? And now suddenly someone walks in, right? So no, I love that. And then again, absolutely, I got one last question and I'll let you get back to your day here. Cause you know, again, I do respect obviously your time. You're busy out there and you got 650 more doors that you got to go do. So I always ask every single one of my guests, if there was one book that you would say that you read that was the most impactful, whether personal or business, doesn't matter, whatever you felt was the most impactful book, what would you recommend someone read that you liked?
Aside from the Bible, I would say the book for some reason has come right to my brain. What the book that changed me was Sell It Like Sirhan.
Yeah.
But that was a personal change. But outside of that, I would say the book that stands out to me would be Good to Great.
Good to Great. That's Jim Collins, right? Yeah.
Jim Collins. He does an if you haven't read it, it's an incredible book. If you get on audio, Jim Collins actually reads it and he's quite a good storyteller.
Right.
It's just an incredible business book that really helps shape people from going from possibly a mediocre career to giving an opportunity to have, you know, to go for greatness. So Good to Great would be the one that I would point people.
Awesome. Awesome. I appreciate that one. Definitely an awesome book. Good to Great, guys. Jim Collins, pick it up or listen on audio. I don't know about you, but like when I'm driving, I try to use that time to read my books, AKA listen to them on Audible.
So. Exactly.
And again, this isn't sponsored, guys, by Audible. It's just a great recommendation.
That's right.
You know, Ken, I appreciate your time so much. I appreciate you coming on the podcast. I think I had a ton of fun. I learned a lot from you even today. And I know some of it already because we've talked so much, but I still learned something.
Exactly.
So thank you so much. I appreciate you coming out.
Thank you so much, Cameron. This is awesome. Anytime.
I appreciate it. And thanks everyone for listening into this episode of the Manning Up on Real Estate podcast. Don't forget, if you've enjoyed this episode, throw us a rating over on iTunes. We'd love to see your feedback and we'll catch you guys on the next episode. Thank you so much.